Because I know probably my mechanic is like, I wish Corey would get his car in here more regularly for those oil changes. You know, he really lets that car go for a while. And I would never let my car do that. I do understand that I should be making regular oil changes. And I try to, but sometimes scheduling gets in the way. I can't get there all the time. I make up a million excuses. But our clients, they might not value this as much. They know it's important. And I think shaming them doesn't really help. Actually, I know shaming them doesn't help. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Fitness Line Down podcast, where I am your host and owner extraordinaire, Corey Kripe. I feel like that podcast, something happened there. I don't think that was like really me. I felt like my voice just jumped up a little bit. So it is the Fitness Line Down podcast. Okay, that sounds better. All right, so here we are still, 2024, newly opened, unwrapped, and I really hope that your new year is going very well. I hope that the things that you've set out to do, that you have taken great action in making that happen, getting that ball rolling. And if it happens that, yeah, you know, it's kind of gone off the rails a little bit, I do hope that you're able to get back on track at some point. But that's what life does, right? Life just throws us around. And sometimes we have to think about not always waiting for the right moment. I think about the image of you've got a big, I guess it's winter here in Wisconsin, so you have a huge snowball on top of a hill, and you're trying to aim it for something at the bottom of the hill. So you spend all this time moving the snowball, changing the angles so that it can just hit that target, where you're waiting forever, and it's not always going to be perfect. So you just have to sometimes let the ball go and run downhill with it and guide it to the target. And you know, I think about that. That was one of the images I had when we first opened up Fitness Lying Down, because I was always getting involved with like, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be the right time. And somebody brought that up to me, like, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be the right time to do this. And we can insert any life event there. We could talk about getting married, buying a home, second job, and just all these different things, starting a family. It's never going to be the right time. So when it comes to opening up a gym, never going to be the perfect time. But you have to get it going. And I mean, all the mistakes that we have made, that we continue to make, I would like to think that we're making less mistakes because we have learned more. Truth be told, I don't know if that's happening, but we have some staying power. So I'm excited about that. And we continue to guide the ball down the hill as we aim for our target. And our targets continue to change as we change. So if you've been listening this year, you know that we have had, we've had a couple exciting weekend weeks and with guests. Our first week back here in the saddle, we had Josh Henkin come in. We're talking about myofascial integrated movement. And then I did a kettlebells and coffee on it the other week. And I just got to tell you right now, for the listening audience, I am hook, line, and sinker bought into this. And I didn't think I would be this excited about something that's body weight, breathing, and moving. Because when you talk to me about this kind of stuff, I'm a very skeptical person. You know, I understand the benefits of relaxation, meditation, but it's not my cup of tea. You know, I'm a gym guy, right? That's what I keep telling myself is I'm a strength coach. I lift weights, I work out, you know, all this other breathing and getting in touch with your inner self or whatever. It's not me. But I'm trying to strive to be more open-minded with things. You know, I tell a lot of people to be open to what we're doing here at Fitness Lying Down. And I feel like I would be a phony. I would be hypocritical if I myself wasn't trying to be open to new experiences. And I also just thought like, hey, this is coming from DVRT. In the many years that I have been following DVRT, incorporating DVRT into our gym, they've never let me down. So I was like, okay, well, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm not going to like it. It's not going to work out well. And I put up all these like excuses, like, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to get our clients to buy into this. I don't know if we're going to be able to, how are we going to do this? Are we offering a class? Are we putting it in the training? How is this going to work out? And I just started doing it, right? And I bought the program. That was the thing, is that DVRT released a program sometime last year. I bought it and started looking into it, and it kind of it put me off a little bit. I'm like, I don't know if I like this. It's not my cup of tea, as I mentioned. I feel goofy. And then I think the best thing they did was they offered a master class for the myofascial integrated movement, aka MIM. And I was waiting a long time. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to sign up for that. But in the pursuit of learning and being better, I did sign up for it. And it was, I think, a 4, 5, 6 week course specifically about MIM, techniques, intention, the science. And then I started getting a little bit excited. I started seeing how this could be applied into programming. I could start seeing how this could be used for a lot of different factors. And, you know, I'm always my first guinea pig. So I started doing it myself. And I've got to say right off the bat, I am not a good breather. That's what I found out. And then it was frustrating. Here I am thinking about our clients. And that's where I put myself in when I was doing this. I think about our clients doing all these movements for the first time or being very newly exposed to fitness lying down with the DVRT and how tough it can be to understand these moves and to understand your body in space. And I was that frustrated. I was just thinking, oh, I can't even breathe the way they want me to breathe. It's just like all these things I kept thinking about. I had to put myself into our clients' bodies, I guess you could say, into their minds, into their thoughts. Because I wonder how many of our clients are internally thinking, man, he wants me to do this, but I can't even do this. Like, how am I supposed to do that? So I'm trying to have a little bit more empathy. And I'm thinking on the back end, you know, as we've talked about many times, is to have a little bit more grace, allow a little more forgiveness, and don't be so hard on yourself in your sessions. You know, and this is one thing I do try to get better at, and I talk about it all the time, is it's okay to make mistakes on the training floor. It's okay as long as you're not going to get injured. And I sometimes approve. I want people to make what I call manageable mistakes. So we're doing an exercise. It might not be 100%. Let's say it's 80%, 75% correct. No sense, no way that anybody's going to get injured. But then I'll come back around and I'll address what's going on. But hey, always the sandwich approach, right? Hey, you did this great. Maybe we should work on this. Love the intention. Let's keep it going. So I started kind of thinking about that with myself on the MIM training floor. And, you know, lo and behold, the more I practice, the better I got. Surprise, shocker, science, what? So my breathing, I'll admit, I feel more confident, more relaxed when I breathe. And I can feel like I can actually take in a good inhale. I can let out that exhale. And I can start having a little bit more awareness. Now, when I say this awareness, when we're doing DVRT things here at Fitness Lying Down, there is a big sense of body awareness. But remember how we always talk about when we're using ultimate sandbags, kettlebells, whatever tools we're using, that load gives us a feedback. So it's not always just about loading our bodies for the resistance purpose. It's a lot of times we load our bodies for feedback. So we understand how our bodies should move in space. Well, when it comes to MIM, this is totally body weight. So for, I would think anybody coming in and doing this that doesn't have that foundation, it could be a big struggle because it's like, wow, I don't even know where I'm going right now. I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling or what I'm doing. And the nice thing about this is I mentioned we just had our first MIM class yesterday. It was fantastic. I loved it. We have 30 people signed up for this, so that's great. We had 10 people live, and we're always recording. And so we sent out those recordings. But I wanted people to make sure that they understood, while you're doing this, don't think about, am I doing this right or am I doing this wrong? We're thinking about practicing. We're thinking about improving. And so as I've been learning, and with DVRT as well, is we don't want to focus on all the things because there are a lot of things with DVRT, yes, but with MIM, there are a lot of things that you need to be aware of. So let's just start working on those foundations. Let's think about how our feet are interacting. So that's what's so great about MIM with DVRT and everything we do here at Fitness Lying Down. Is it so oriented around your feet and your hands? And it's the science, right? So it's great that it complements. And the compliments that I've been getting from our clients and others that have been joining us, especially our clients, are saying, hey, this is a great thing. I'm so glad I'm doing it. It's not going to be instead of, it's going to be in addition to. Like, I see how this could really help my movement and my strength training and my overall like mental health and wellness. Because let's be honest, as we're learning to breathe, as we're letting our bodies relax, these are great relaxation strategies that we can use to combat a lot of those stressors in our life. So just being able to sit back, breathe, you know, and one of those favorite exercises I talk about is shaking. So it's the fact where you're bouncing up and down. Your feet are staying rooted into the ground, but you're getting that bounce of feel and you're letting your body just go limp to some degree. And then what's neat about that is after like a minute of just shaking, you let go, you stop, and you just let your body stay still. And all of a sudden, all this tingling sensation comes through, and you just feel so much more alert and relaxed. You just feel let go of. And it's great. It's a liberating experience, and I'm excited to see where we go from here. But it is one of those things where it's like, wow, this is so foreign to me. And I will have to admit, a trainer's confession. Yesterday was the first day of leading an MIM class. And it felt like the first day on the training floor where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. Like, what am I doing? But I just stuck with the principles, the fundamentals, and the important intentions. Because that's it right there. Is you could just sit here and do these kind of drills and move around willy-nilly. And it might maybe feel good, but you're not getting the benefit of the controlledness of the movement. So I'm almost thinking like, you know, we have fitness lying down. I think MIM for us is like fitness slowing down because there's so much movement that is controlled. And why are we moving slow? We're moving slow so that we can have our breath catch up with our movement and then we can really focus and honor our foot's interaction, our feet interaction with the ground and how our hands are moving in space and how this causes the rest of our body to move. It's kind of like what we talk about on the training floor with DVRT is that if we're moving fast through these exercises, speeding through them, we're not going to get the intent of that drill. We might start compensating. So as we're overhead pressing, as we all know here on the Fitness Lying Down podcast, that overhead press is not a shoulder exercise. It's not an arm exercise. It's a body exercise. And so as I'm making that press happen, I have to be certain that my feet are using that floor to create that energy. And so that's another thing too, right? Is as I open up a new page, I kind of squirm in my seat when people talk about energy. But it is a true thing because when you push into the ground, right? If I take my feet and I push into the floor, well, the floor pushes back at me and there's actual energy. Now, this isn't like the Force from Star Wars kind of energy. This is true blue science energy that transfers through your body. And to be able to use that energy to help the movement, that's what's really neat. I'm going to say neat. I don't know. Is neat even a word? That's what's so amazing about this for me is being able to use that. And so kind of in closing with the MIM, I like to think that strength training is akin to brushing your teeth when it comes to your health and wellness and your physical activity. Is we have to brush our teeth. But, you know, for the MIM, for me, this feels like flossing. I'm able to get in a little bit deeper. I'm able to do things that I can't actually do with strength training. I can't get to some spots with my toothbrush. I have to actually use the floss to get into those crevices, those harder reach spots. And so when I'm loaded on the training floor with a sandbag, with a kettlebell, with whatever, I have to have more intentional posture. I have to be really strict and rigid because I'm under load. And if I lose that integrity, the chances of being injured increase. So we can't do that. But being unloaded, all body weight with the MIM, I have more freedom to move around in a way that I couldn't do with load. So it's for me, it's almost given a whole new level of restoration. And we're already putting that into people's programs. Sorry, I just get so excited that even our coaches, so we're doing this together. As I talk about our coaches, we get together, we train together 3 days a week. And with all the MIM stuff and me trying to keep on top of this, I've got to keep them on top of this. And we can't always get together and have a meeting every day because our schedules are kind of wonk that way. So Megan, I'm going to give her total credit for this, but I'm also going to give myself credit because I hire smart people. So Megan like said, as we're kind of brainstorming about this, she's like, well, why don't we do MIM as a session? together as a staff. And of course, right away, I'm like, well, we're not going to do that because these 3 days, like, I need my strength training with you for accountability. So I don't want to just dedicate a whole session for MIM. She's like, that's not what I mean. What if at the end of our strength training session, our MRT sessions, what if we devote 10, 15 minutes to MIM drills? And I was like, wow, that's genius. So here we are now. I mean, we're starting to do this as a staff, and I'm already seeing it. Like Megan talked about the other day, we had a client come in who's been a little bit in and out. She's been traveling. She's been taking care of an ailing father, taking care of her grandkids. And she comes in, I guess. I wasn't here, but Megan was telling me earlier. She's like, well, we'll see how this goes today. You know, it's been a while. My body just feels, and I can just sense how Megan's like, I know how this session's going to go for you because I got some tricks up my sleeve that's going to help you. And how wonderful is it to recognize, as we talk about, when we talk to our clients right away, when they come in, we can get a good sense of where they're at. We can understand if today is going to be we're going to kill this day. We're just going to lift all the heavy things and it's going to be fantastic. Or maybe today's going to be like a par for the course day. We're happy we're in. We're going to get our movement in. We're going to feel good. Or is it going to be, I did not want to come in today. I knew I had to, but I'm dreading this session because it's just been a while. Now all of a sudden we can throw some more of the MIM in there. We, as I talked about in our previous episodes, is the fact that, yes, we have a program set up, but we're not married to that program. And I'm finding out, too, I didn't think I was going to talk this long about MIM, but here I am talking on and on and on about this. But it's kind of fun now to see how we can substitute different things. So we do have some people in the gym, believe it or not, that have shoulder things, that pressing overhead is an issue. As much as we try to do it right, I mean, they just have some restrictions in their shoulders that we cannot get around. That's okay. However, now we can start incorporating some of these MIM drills where I'm seeing that this is going to be, it doesn't come off as looking like a press exercise, but it's going to be a good substitution. It's going to be a good regression for an overhead press because of what we're doing through our body and how we're able to still get the ground contact all the way up to the hands. And so we're not going to struggle with the press and have people with impingement problems in their shoulders. We're going to take it to a different level. And I'll tell you what, I think I mentioned this before in the previous podcast episodes. The feedback on this with our clients has been wonderful. I've hesitated, as I mentioned at the beginning. I'm like, I don't know if our clients like the buy-in to this. This might be a difficult sell. And we're not doing anything strictly all MIM in a session per se, but adding some of these in there at the right moment has given them that, like, wow, this, I feel really good. And how this exercise, this myofascial integrated movement drill that you just had me do, I feel more set up for this bigger exercise, the one that's a little heavier. My body feels ready for it. I'm more alert. And that's what, you know, Josh talked about that first week with us, and it's kind of stuck with me, is that balance. We have to have that balance. And so when I'm under load, when I'm doing a strength training exercise, I have to create a lot of tension. That tension builds up stress into my body, kind of maybe a U stress. That means EU stress. Like, it's a good stress to have, but we also have to be able to get out of that too. So our body's not just meant to be stressed and rigid and tense. We have to have that relaxation as well. So putting this in at the right time and getting to know your clients even better. Again, I'm just going on about this, but I think about another client. You know, for a couple years, he's always like, my hips are always tight. And so I'm trying to give him all the DVRT hip things I can give him and all this different stuff, but he keeps talking about how tight they are. So now we're incorporating some MIM, and initially, I'm getting some good responses. You know, to the point where he's actually open to like a third day of coming in and just doing everything MIM. And here I am trying to talk him out of like paying more money. I'm not the best business person, but it's just like, all right, let's first do this. Let's keep you at 2 days a week. We'll give you a couple exercises that are strength training. Cause he did talk about it. He's like, when I come to Fitness Line Down, this is my strength training. He does his cardiovascular. He also has some more mobility things he does at home, whatnot. But I said, you know, in your strength training, if I give you a couple like strength training exercises, but then I give you a third one that's more of a MIM, just relax, breathe, let that body kind of get back to the center, before you go back to the strength training exercise? Let's try that first. And so that's where we're at right now. But it gives us more openness in our training programming. And that openness, more tools in the toolbox, is never a bad thing. But as we've harped on over and over again, is you got to have those tools in your toolbox, and you got to know which tools to use at the right time. So there are times where MIM drills are going to be great, and there's times where MIM drills, it won't be as desirable. So you got to know. You got to know who your clientele are. Like, are people coming in? Do they want this? Do they not want this? Are they open to it? Are they not open to it? There's a lot of discussions that we have to have. But so it's for this new year, I mean, I feel like Corey in 2012, 2013, when I started kind of getting a little bit involved into functional training, the MoveNet stuff, and then it started kind of moving into DVRT, and then I got learning into DVRT and how excited I was about it because I just saw the possibilities and where we could take this exercise, where we could take that exercise, how we could add to that, we can progress that, we can add more sprinkles, we can regress it. It was just like, wow, we've got so many different things to do. And now I'm at point one, point A, that I've still got so many things we can do with MIM now. And to combine that with the DVRT drills, my goodness, it feels like the possibilities are endless. And that is a great thing to say as a trainer, as a coach, as a program designer, and most importantly, as a business owner. All right, now it's time to get a little bit on my soapbox. I have a couple issues on my chest that I just want to get off. And the one thing I'm thinking about right now is, and I feel like I'm old enough and experienced enough to talk about this. Now, there might be people that are older than me in the industry that have even more wisdom and knowledge, and I definitely bow to their wisdom on this. But it's that fact of, I mentioned this before in previous episodes, that the worst trainer in the world was me, fresh out of college. You know, here I am, single. I don't even know if I had any responsibilities per se. Like, okay, got to make my car payment, pay rent. Other than that, like, just make sure I got enough ramen in the cupboard. I mean, I really didn't have any other things going on. And I could spend a lot of time in the gym, which I did. And then I'm training other people who have full-time jobs, who have careers, who have family, they have children, they have wives, husbands, they have all this stuff going on in their lives. And it's almost like, no, you need to dedicate. I mean, if you want to hit those goals, you have to be in the gym every day like I am. Like, that's how you're going to get it done. And I could only imagine how many people, like, they start with me because, let's be honest, especially this new year here, all the resolutions that sometimes happen, is everybody's willing to put in all the work. Like, I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week for an hour, hour and a half. I've got to meet those goals, and that's how I'm going to do it. If you have the time and energy, God bless you. But for a lot of people, they start with that, and then they realize this is not sustainable. I have so many other things that I have to take care of that I just can't be in the gym all the time. You know, for some people, even 3 days a week is a lot of time. And if you're the coach, trainer, program designer, and you can't satisfy somebody for 2 hours a week with a good strength training program, I think you got to recheck yourself. I just see too many people that are shaming others online for not committing to working out. You know, it's just like, I don't understand that form of attack. And that was me to some degree, though, because, well, we didn't have the social media like we do now, but I wonder what stupid stuff I would be saying out there if we did have Facebook, Instagram, whatnot, how I'd be telling people like, hey, man, if you got this time to do this, you absolutely have time to work out. Because I had no reason to even, I had no business to say that. I didn't understand what it was like to be married with children and have a career and try to make everything happy. And I tell clients sometimes here, it's like, you know what? I'm okay being like a B plus gym owner, trainer. I would rather be an A plus husband and father. Like, that's where my priorities ultimately lie. Now, of course, I think I could do both things very well, but I have to set boundaries. And we always hear about those boundaries. So I just know the things that I can do in the gym and the things I have to start delegating to for my other employees, which we've talked about this before, working with their strengths helps me. so that I don't have to be here at the gym all the time anymore. I can devote more time to my family because this is important for me. And, you know, I just, because I know probably my mechanic as well at the shop is like, I wish Corey would get his car in here more regularly for those oil changes. You know, he really lets that car go for a while, and I would never let my car do that. And it's almost that appreciation that we have. Like, I appreciate my vehicle because it gets me from point A to point B. I don't need anything flashy. I do understand that I should be making regular oil changes, and I try to, but sometimes scheduling gets in the way. I can't get there all the time. I make up a million excuses. Let's save it for next month because this month's a little tight, so we'll spend the budget next month for my oil change, and I'll just hope that nothing bad happens. So I think, like, in that realm, saying that kind of stuff kind of gives me a perspective, too, of, like, our clients. Like, our clients are not in the gym 6, 7, 8 hours a day like we are as fitness professionals. You know, we have absolutely no excuse to not be more healthy, right? But our clients, they might not value this as much. They know it's important. And I think shaming them doesn't really help. Actually, I know shaming them doesn't help. I think we're past that phase of guilt. You know, that was more of the 80s and 90s. Like, we could guilt clients to coming into the gym, and they're like, oh yeah, I have to, you know. But nowadays, like, where we lie in our priorities, a lot of people are like, yeah, you know, I'm okay missing a session. And sometimes that's hard for us to, like, accept. Like, how could you be okay missing a session? Like, this is your session. You got to get in. We got to stay consistent. And so I've learned through my years, as I said before, the worst person in the world training people was me. And I don't know when that leaf, like, turned. I think it was sometime during the fitness line down here, you know, with all my family trying to juggle a business and talking to people and, like, listening to what's going on in their lives. Like, of course they've got a lot of things going on. And I'm grateful. Every time somebody walks through the door and trains with us, I am very grateful because there was a million other things that they could have done instead. And they would have been rightly justified to do so. And so I do take it as a compliment to us, but I also take it as this person is investing in themselves. They know that this is important. And we've had a lot of clients that, you know, once in a while have to take a little time off because they got a family thing going on. They're moving parents into the area. Kids got a crisis. You know, it's just like, and the last thing I want to do at Fitness Line Down is be an additional stress. Like, for all these people that are already kind of having trouble navigating life right now because of all these stress issues and they're unable to handle the stress well, what is it adding one more piece of stress onto that puzzle and then shaming them when they can't make it happen? I think in the long run, we're going to end up with more clients by letting clients kind of have a little time instead of clients leaving, because that's kind of a jerk move. And I wonder how many of us that can shame clients, you know, as I already mentioned about my car, how many of us can shame our clients that you're not eating healthy enough, you're drinking too much beer, you're eating too much ice cream, blah, 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 this, and this. You need to be more accountable to yourself. I will help you be accountable. I will help you stay on that path. You're not getting all the physical activity you need. You need to be coming into the gym 2, 3, 4 days a week. I'm going to keep you accountable because you need to take care of your goals. If you don't take care of your goals, you're lazy, and we don't want lazy. Lazy doesn't work. Well, yeah, but that's kind of the whole thing is I want to know how many fitness professionals out there that are busy shaming their clients have those things that they're not so concerned about. As I mentioned, talked about a couple times already, my car. I know my car is important, but I'm not always getting it serviced. I'm not always getting the spark plugs changed or whatnot, and I'm not dedicated to that, but I know it's important anyway. So how many of us in the fitness industry who are so busy telling our clients they should be coming to the gym, even though we basically live in the gym, we like being in the gym, we like working out, when all the other people in the general world aren't really big fans of exercise? So how many of us in the fitness industry have those things that we should have somebody shaming us about too? Like, you know, our meditation, our sleep, like, are we getting enough sleep? Should somebody be yelling at us because we're not getting enough sleep? Maybe our diet's not all the way clean. Should somebody be shaming us because you had that ice cream on that Saturday night? You had that glass of wine. You had that, you know, whatever beverage, and you should be setting a better example. You know, so it's like, I think it's easy to point that finger. And I don't know why we do it in the industry, because we talk about helping people. I really think that this is kind of more of a hurtful thing. And I'm kind of tired of seeing it. It saddens me that we treat people this way when we should be giving them more of an encouragement. Like, hey, I know life is, you know, I always think about it, sometimes cheesy, but I see the shirts, I see the posts that are like, I don't know who's out there, but you need to hear this. You are special. You are loved. You are, you know, you are enough. Okay. I mean, we need some more of those messages in the fitness industry. Like, hey, I don't know who needs to hear this right now. I know you're struggling with life. I know you can't get to the gym right now. Our door is always going to be open to you. We're waiting for you. Be here when you can, you know. And as I talked about before, I think one of our great things we do at Fitness Lying Down is that we're able to meet people where they are at that specific day. So they might come in on a Monday and they're just jacked up. Life is going good. We have an amazing workout. And then they come in on a Thursday and it's like, you can just tell the air's been let out of the tire. They're not necessarily where we were on Monday. So instead of trying to push them to where we were on Monday, like, whoa, let's take a little bit of a different approach. Let's actually give them some exercises that they're successful in doing so they feel better, because getting through something, being successful, already helps. So maybe we have to not even take down the weight. As we talked about, this is a great thing about DVRT, is maybe we change the body position. We make it a little bit of an easier body position. Maybe we make it a better holding position, a regressed holding position is what I'm trying to stumble and talk about. What if we give them a myofascial, wow. What if we give them a myofascial integrated movement drill instead? Like, let's meet them where they're at. And now all of a sudden, like I mentioned, we're going to have more clients because of this. Because if we keep hammering the screw with the hammer, because everything, when we got that hammer, everything looks like a nail. If we keep using the same tool and we're just trying to bash it into people, we're not going to get the progress that we want. And people, unfortunately, might actually leave fitness, period, because it didn't work for them. They've tried all these gyms. They've been shamed. They've been put through the ringer. It's not what they're looking for. Like, how many times have I had to kind of sit back and be like, all right, our client that came in now that joined us, what were they actually saying as they were talking? You know, what is it that they really want out of the gym? There are some people, yes, that just want hardcore exercises. They want to be pushed, and we can do that. We got some people that just, they want a nice, not hardcore exercise, but they want a good session where it's like, okay, I want to know that I did some work, but I don't want to be dead. We can do that. You know, I got some people that come in and they're just like, I'm already coming at the end of my workday. I've got all the stress. I'm tired. I need to put in the work though. Like, I want to put in the work. And that's why I'm coming here, is for the accountability to put in the work. But if you give me things that are too hard, I'm going to go somewhere. Not even else. I'm just going to not go anywhere, because I don't want to feel fatigued. I don't want to be dead after these sessions. I just want something that I know I moved around. I know I got some physical activity and I had a good time doing it. And I can leave and not worry about the stairs on the way down that my legs are going to give out because they're so tired. And we can do that as well. And so, you know, kind of circling all the way back to the MIM, how wonderful this is to have more tools in the toolbox, because we've already got so many things that we can answer people with. We know how to make things more challenging, more progressive here in the gym. And we also know how to regress things, but now we can even regress things even more. And when you got people that come in that are just like, my knee hurts today because of the weather, my shoulder hurts because I slept on it funny, which is insane that the older you get, sometimes sleeping is a hard thing in the morning when you wake up. But how we can address that in a different way, still movement training, still working on that movement strength. Again, getting where those bristles of your brush can't go, getting that floss, getting a little deeper, breathing, slowing down. I tell you what, it is just exciting. And I'm excited for 2024 because it's just, as you look at the diversity of clients that we have and their different goals and what they want out of Fitness Lying Down and how we can serve them all, and still call it strength training. It's just, it looks different to different people in different ways. And this evolution is just keeping your mind open. I think I talked about this at the end of the year with kind of my, I don't know if it's 5-3 takeaways. One of them was just being open, right? I think like just Be a learn-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. Be a learn-it-all. Learn what's going on. How can you use that in your system, in your philosophy, in your methodology? So, for all my friends out there, man, it's been an exciting year so far in the podcast realm. I appreciate all your support. I'm looking forward to next week, I think. Maybe next week's a nutrition takeover. I don't want to guarantee you that, but I think we're due. So, I'm hoping Megan knows about that too. I'm going to talk to her. Anyway, until the next time that we speak, my friends, Godspeed.